Praise God once again that I am here in Maastricht. Almost every year I come. I have been coming to this church since Pastor Kent used to hold meetings in his own house. So I remember about 6-7 people, 10 people, 15 people coming to the church that was a home church. Now it is a big church. Praise God for that. And I pray that you will be bigger day by day and fulfilling the needs. And number one, the most important thing that I like about this church is that the church talks about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the central focus, the central personality, the central person in this church, the church talks about. Many places people are missing the target. I don't know if you are, you may be touched by media all around you. The science has taken so many strides now that we are able to communicate so quickly with one another. And communication has become very fast. I remember once when I was a student in America, I don't know which place you were there, but I'm in Kansas State University. And in that, in those days, we were not so spiritual at all. And we were purely scientists in American universities. And I hardly encountered people, few people, one or two around in my five and a half years of time that I could go. I wish I was in Christ at the age that you came. But even though, nevertheless, it's late to be there, but at least we are there. So we believe that whatever time has allotted, God has allotted to us, we'll fulfill His dream and vision of Christ on earth. The biggest problem in the world today is that people are trying to avoid cross. Cross and the power of cross. If you look around, the media is misguiding heavily. Since young people are here today, I want to let you know that I do watch and try to see what is going on in the world. Particularly, I check on the YouTubes, different speakers, how they talk about Jesus or anybody talking about against Jesus Christ. So I listen to them very carefully and try to find out how beguiling the spirit of Antichrist is. It is moving very fast in this world today, the Antichrist spirit. And this Antichrist spirit is trying to say Jesus is not God. Jesus is just a great prophet, a mighty man. A great prophet, a mightiest prophet on earth ever appeared, is Jesus Christ. He is not God. How can you say He is God? All these questions are now in debates and discussions which I often hear. But they hardly, in the media, there are people from India also, there are people from America who are very active in this propaganda of Antichrist movement, particularly Jesus. Not as God. They treat him, Jesus, okay, Jesus is calling, his Father is greater than I, in John 14, verse 28, Father is greater than I, that's okay. But Jesus is calling him Father. Remember one thing, when you encounter such people, the beguiling spirits in this world today, they might say, Jesus is calling God as his Father, and so he is not God. All right, that's good idea. But scientifically, the science says the child must be like his father. So tell them very clearly, the monkey gives birth to a monkey. Donkey gives birth to a donkey. I've never seen monkey giving birth to a man. At least for the 5,000 years of known history. We have studied science history very well. Never such a thing has happened. People have dreamed and imagined, wild imaginations, like, you know, dinosaurs. Now, in my young, this morning when my grandson woke up, he's 4 years old, he said, Dada, he calls me Dada, Grandpa, I saw the dinosaurs movie. I said, where? In my dream. I said, good. That is how people have dreamed dinosaurs being here on earth and how they worked, how they did. There are many things that you can interpret different ways, which are dead stuff. So that stuff can be interpreted scientifically the way you want. So same way, when he's saying Jesus, Jesus is saying Father is greater than I, the Antichrist picks up quickly. And he says on the television, "Oh, Pilly, I was listening." See, Jesus himself is saying God as Father. And how can he be God? If I were present in that crowd, I could have asked him, "Yes, what about your son? You have a son. Does he call you Father?" He says, "Yes." "Do you say your son is a monkey or a human being?" "You will say your son is a human being. So what about Son of God? What is this species? Just scientifically think about it. A species of God is God. It cannot become Homo macaca, as you are Homo sapiens. Homo sapiens are humans, and Homo macaca is a monkey. So macaca species is differentiating between you and the monkey. You never produce a monkey, and you never call a monkey your brother or your sister, and never a monkey calling you father. Same way, Jesus calling God as his father means he is his son. And therefore, he knows it very well. He is his father. And he is fully in the will of God, will of his father, spirit of his father. He is nothing but father manifested in body on earth. This is more to be understood. Now, Jesus Christ, as we know him, we have seen the Lord Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with the God. That means Jesus is not only 2,000 years old. Jesus Christ is not 2,000 years old. He is not a prophet. In fact, that St. Paul talks about in Philippians very clearly further that he became man. Oh, Jesus, chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 7. "But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man." Imagine, Jesus came in the likeness of man. God came in the likeness of man. If you go in the Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 26 says, God created man in his image and in his own likeness. So here God creates a man in his own image and in his own likeness, the first man. The first man is created in the image and likeness of God. What about this last man? The second or last man who has come on earth in the name of Jesus. Bible says he became man in the likeness of man. So God here becoming in the likeness of man on the right side, and God creating man in his own image on the left side. So here is the fallen man. After he created him, man did fall away from God because of sin. But God never disowned man. How many mother and fathers disown their children, even if they go astray, if they become bad boys and bad girls? How many of fathers and mothers, I don't think any father and mother having a heart of a father and mother would ever forget their children. Bible says in Isaiah 14, Isaiah, that the mother can forget you, father can forget you, but I cannot forget you. I have engraved your image on my palms. That means God has created an image and preserved that image within his eternity and divinity. So you are the preserved material. Human beings are not ordinary livestock and animals. Human beings are very special creation of God. And God has created them in his own image and in his own likeness. And therefore, he says, I have preserved you. I have engraved your image I have engraved your image. I care for you. Your mother may forget you, but I cannot. A nursing child can be forgotten by a mother, but God says, I cannot. And this is the love of God that has caused His Son Jesus Christ to appear on earth, manifest on earth as a man. It is a pure manifestation of divinity of God in Jesus Christ. Let us not forget that part. Jesus is everywhere claiming that He is the Son of God. He is not coming from earth, but He is coming from heaven. In John chapter 1 verse 13, if you see, John chapter 1 verse 13, Jesus says, John chapter 14, 3, John chapter 3 verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven. No one has ascended to heaven, but He who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So here Jesus Christ is explaining His omnipresence, that He is present on earth, at the same time He is present in heaven. It is wonderful. God becoming man in order to identify Himself with the mankind, so that the whole mankind can be taken for salvation in Him and Him alone. Therefore, Jesus declared in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus never declared that I will only admit Catholics, Roman Catholics, Marthoma, Pentecostals, and so many Methodists, Presbyterians. He is not really bothered about it. The Bible doesn't talk about it. Bible and Muslims or Hindus, He doesn't talk about that. Even a Hindu can be a Hindu still, without becoming a Christian, he can be saved. A Muslim can be saved without becoming a Christian by religion. Because religious spirits are not good, I must tell you. Religious spirits are very beguiling spirits. They can take you to definite eternity of hell and definitely not to God. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is the Holy Spirit that will guide us into the right direction. Where Jesus says, I am the way. There is no other way. People say, sir, we have an inter-religious dialogue. And I'm invited very often sometimes in such places. I do avoid to go. But anyway, I go there when I am forced to go, compelled to go. So I went there one day. That was in District Nainital in the hill stations. And I was invited that you have to participate in an inter-religious gathering. I said, all right, I'm coming. I went there. I said, keep my talk very at the last. Let everybody speak. So then one Pandit came, he spoke in Sanskrit something, which I did not understand anything. And after some time, an imam came. Imam spoke something in Arabic, which also I did not understand. Then few other came, Jain came, the Buddhist came, one after another. It was almost 1.5 hours they were speaking, and then I was listening. At the end, I was given the time. I said, salvation, you may have knowledge of God. You may have knowledge of many gods, but Jesus Christ is only one. Salvation door is only one. Truth is only one. And life is only one. Once life is given to you, choose right. Choose life. You will not be born anywhere again. This is the only life that you must choose the right path. And I am telling you what is right path. And I boldly spoke for 40 minutes only about Jesus Christ and His salvation and called for healings. And in that crowd, 50-60% people turned out for the altar call. And I prayed for them, laid hands upon them, and there was a turmoil next day. I had to leave the city. So wherever I go, the next day there will be a problem. So then another place, I was in Indore, another city in India, in Madhya Pradesh, where we had a big program, and there was a sister who was from a Hindu background and a very strong, devout Hindu, and she accepted the Lord, and she was serving the Lord very faithfully. And she wanted me for almost 3 years that I should be there in her meetings. So then I went there. And after 2 days of stay, as long as I was there, there was no problem. Lots of healings, miracles took place. Sister was very encouraged. Then I left the city and I heard that the church was attacked. And heavily attacked, damaged. And all these things happened. So we are not afraid of such things happening around, because we know that there's a reaction of the Antichrist. We are not talking about religion again. I do not speak a word against any religion. I never talk about religion. I even do not consider that I am a religious man. I tell them, I am not a religious man. I am a scientist. I got the Spirit of God, and now I am guided by the Holy Spirit. So I know the Christ, who is only deliverer and only savior. He is the only way and truth and life. You have only one life. Then receive the life. Receive this truth now. Otherwise you will never have opportunity again. So then you have to talk. Then they say, okay, sir, we believe that Jesus Christ is the only one, that he can give us the salvation. And it is true. And they believe what is written here. But they misinterpret everything to Christians. You have to be aware of them also. They will say, okay, in the book of Numbers, I was hearing the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19. Book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. He is not son of man. And that one gentleman who is talking about Jesus is not divine God, but he is a prophet and great and mighty prophet. He has done wonders and miracles, but he cannot be treated as God. That gentleman is interpreting this word that God cannot be a man. I said, yes, God cannot be a man who should speak lie. But God can be a man who should not speak lie. Interpret this way. The same word he is twisting and using against the Christians. And Christians are suddenly bewildered because they don't know their scripture. So what is necessity today in the church and the world today? That you must know your word. You should be aware. You should be equipped with the word of God. I'm glad that this church is taking care of the Bible study. So many opportunities that you have whole week to learn about the word of God. If you are aware and knowing the word of God, you will win every kind of temptation. See, Jesus Christ was tempted in 4th chapter of Matthew. He was tempted 3 times. Jesus responded by the word of God. When he was hungry for 40 days and 40 nights, we know that Jesus, you are a son of God, the devil says. And it is true. He is son of God. Can you not make this stone into a bread? Yes, it is possible. He could. Only he had to cut short the process. He should not have to go through the plant system, but rather he will straight away convert the minerals into the bread. It is possible. Scientifically, rocks turning into a bread is possible. You know how it is possible? The rocks go through a weathering. Rocks and minerals go through a weathering, and they come into the solution, water solution, and soil solutions. And from soil solution, the plant roots pick up the minerals, and they go into the photosynthetic cycle. We know the leaves have photosynthesis, carbohydrate manufacturing apparatus, and that apparatus manufactures the food. Ultimately, it takes about 3 months, 4 months, but Jesus can do it in the second, as he did it for two fish and 5 loaves of bread. He multiplied them within no time. The power and the energy required for a process to speed up is very, very high. We know that enzymatic energy, kinetic energy, mechanical energy, all these energies applications, the solar energy, all these energies are used for reactions, for creating certain reactions on earth. In our body system also, we have reactions going on all the time. But they require certain thermodynamic temperature, standard controls, everything. But here when Jesus or the God Almighty comes, he does not have to really take energy in a form in which he could take. He can simply release energy because he is the source of power. Psalm 62:11. If you look at Psalm 62:11, God spoke once and I heard twice that power belongs to God. So the power, every form of power, every form of energy belongs to God. And when he will release the energy into a stone, I guarantee stone can turn into a bread. Devil was not lying. He was telling the truth. Devil cannot speak lie in the presence of God. Always remember one thing. But he can speak lies and beguile the man and women all the time. That is his job. And he does very well. He's a good worker of his job. And here we Christians do not know what power we have in the Word of God. It was the Word of God that defeated the Satan in the times he was tempting Christ. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, the man shall live. Deuteronomy 8:3. The Old Testament. Jesus is using word after word. All three temptations, he used word. Same way, the Satan is not changed. He is still using the word of God against Christians, against believers. He is using the word. He is trying to prove Jesus is not God. He is trying to prove Jesus can be a great man, great teacher. Like many of our people in India, they accept him as a good teacher, wonderful teacher, great man. But they would not accept him as God, as Savior, as only Savior. They have difficulty. They said, you can preach Christ as one of the gods, we have no problem. Because we have great democracy among gods and goddesses. Millions and billions of gods everywhere in India. So there is a great democracy. You can add one more. We have no problem. But when you say he is the only one, we have problem. Well, this is the only one who rose from the dead. He's the only one whom we call him Son of God. He's the only one who has resurrection power. See, God can raise dead. That is what is the truth. We all know God can raise the dead. God opens the eyes of the blind. God heals the sick. As we know, 15th chapter of Exodus, verse 26. I am your God that healeth you. He heals. So how come a man will heal? It is God who is healing. So God manifested. God in flesh came in the name of Jesus. And he manifested the power of God into the whole world today. Only 200 kilometers if you have ever gone to Jerusalem in Israel. He has never crossed 200 kilometers. I have walked thousands of miles. But Jesus did not walk outside 200 kilometers physically. But today, he is in every nook and corner of the world through his disciples who reached out throughout the world with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the love of God that compelled them to preach the gospel. It was not that they wanted to preach. This is not my occupation that I have to preach the word of God and gospel of Jesus Christ. But it is the love of God that compels me to go wherever I go. I have to preach gospel whether I am in the aeroplane or in the train or in the bus or in the restaurant or in a city. I will never miss a chance to share gospel with someone. And I carry all the time in my pocket some kind of tracts. You know, like this, I'll say, okay, this is in English here in this country. I did not make it in Dutch. So next time you can have it in Dutch. But never missing this chance, just because of one reason. The person sitting beside me in the aeroplane will never get a chance to sit with me again. The person in the restaurant that I see him first time or never see him again. So that may be a chance for him to know Christ, know truth. I will definitely share. And if they have problems, they have something, God can deal with it. So it is God who heals, it is God who raises the dead, and that has been proved in the body of Christ. The flesh of Jesus, body of Jesus, the Jesus, the God that became flesh. The Word of God became flesh. So God becomes man. Imagine, in other side, God is making man in his own image. And here God comes and becomes man. In the image of man, God becomes now. So God is coming in the likeness of man, and man is not able to recognize God. He is thinking whether he is really God or not. What a foolish man we are. We are not able to recognize. We only know one thing, that God made us in his image and in his likeness. So we are like God. Fine. You are like God. And you are all gods. If you look at the Psalm 82 verse 6, that says you are all gods. All gods. Small g and big g, it doesn't make any difference. The theologians make it. Spirit does not make a small g or big g. In his spirit, you are all really gods. But you miss one thing, that you have not become the child of God. You may be gods. There are millions and billions of gods, but Jesus is only one. The Savior is only one. Son of God is only one. And Son of God is given the mandate to make the world as children of God. The whole world, irrespective of your background, your religion, caste or creed, your nationality, whatever you are from, the God, Son, Jesus Christ has only one mandate, to make the world as his children, people of the world as his children. We know in John chapter 1 verse 12, all those, many do not believe in him. Many of the Pharisees, many of the Jewish high priests did not believe, they rejected Christ. But those who believed in him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. So once you become the child of God, then you cannot be called monkey, you must be gods. Your species is changed. I guarantee your species is changed. You are likened in the Jesus Christ. You are in the likeness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because God became man. And man is not trying to become man. The great difficulty today is the man is not becoming man. The man that God created in his own original design. The original design of man was not the man that we see today. People killing one another in the name of religion. People hating one another in the name of religion. It is something different. Our enemy is not humans. If you look at Ephesians 6, verse 10, 11, 12, 13 says, our warfare is not against the flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities and forces of darkness, which are in heavenly realms. So the forces of darkness, they are influencing the minds of the people in the world today. They find windows of hatred. They find windows of religion. They find windows of caste, creed, and nationality, language, and somehow to implant hatred. But here comes the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, Romans 5:5, God poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. And on the other hand, the Satan and the demonic forces are pouring out powerfully the hatred into the minds of the people. In the name of religion, in the name of color, in the name of nationality, in the name of language, anything could be there. They find a window to penetrate somehow hatred. And that's the job devil is doing quite very well. And the Christians now have to do a job. The Christians who call themselves Christians, Christ-like. I'm still trying to become Christian. So I'm on my way to become Christian. You know, I still see little dim. But someday I will see face to face. And when perfect comes, imperfect will disappear. I am waiting for that day, for the perfection of Jesus Christ taking over me completely. So I'm moving on that road. And here, the God and the Christians who believe in God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit must do outpouring of love into the hearts of man by the Holy Spirit. Love will displace hatred. There is no way that we can finish the hatred here in this world. Only love. I know if I bring a glass of half a glass of water, and it has some soap in it, what should I do without pouring out? I can pour some clean water and kept on pouring the clean water until that soap water completely disappears. So clean water can remove every dirt, every uncleanness from the water. You can continually pour down the clean water into a dirty water vessel. The dirtiness will be displaced completely from that bottle. Same way in book of Romans chapter 12 verse 13. The book of Romans chapter 12 verse 13. Here St. Paul is saying, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, it's very difficult. It is a tough job. If you avoid cross, this is cross. This is cross. That you cannot avoid cross. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, avoiding cross is dangerous. So the message of cross, we come to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. For the message of cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Message of love is the message of cross. Jesus had great love, great patience. Imagine when Jesus was hanging on the cross. People were nailing him in his and nailing his feet, nailing his hands, and the crown of thorns. Back was full of injuries, bleeding, and is still saying no curse upon anyone who was persecuting him. Because the mission of Jesus Christ was not to destroy the world. The mission of Jesus Christ was to save the world. The same is even of God today. If you look in the book of Jonah, how Jonah was deputed to Nineveh. Go and preach the gospel to the people of Nineveh. Perhaps they might repent and turn from their wicked ways, and God may relent from destroying them. Here is the same thing. Here is bigger than Jonah, mightier than Moses, greatest prophet they talk about in the other world of the Arab world, the mightiest prophet. Yes, he is mightiest prophet, but he is son of God. For Moses is talking about. Moses says he is a greater one. He is going to come greater than Moses, greater than prophet Elijah, greater than Jonah is here. And he is preaching the gospel of love, even at the cost of his life. He was hanged on the cross, still saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So this word cannot come out of a mouth that has no peace. I don't think anybody tormented in pain can say, Father, forgive them. Know not what they do, unless they have peace. Unless they have the spirit of peace. The person of Christ is full of peace. The person of Christ is full of divinity and godliness. Nothing but God, nothing but Father, nothing but whole of the Holy Spirit in him. Patience, love, joy, patience, full of it. No hatred. Purpose of Christ coming is only one, salvation. Purpose of Christ coming is only one, to save the world, save the sinners. Even though he was criticized by the then Pharisees. They were saying, how come your guru, your teacher, is eating with Matthew, not your pastor Matthew, When he called Matthew, Jesus invited criticism. When he was in the house of Matthew eating and drinking with the disciples, so many tax collectors, so many sinners coming in that house, and he was criticized. Then Jesus said to them, should a doctor be not required for a sick person? Yes, physician is needed for people who are sick. The same way, God is needed for the sinners. Forgiveness is required for the sinners of the world. So I have not come to save the righteous, but to sinners. And then Saint Paul is further explaining. He is clarifying much more in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That means everybody on earth requires repentance. No matter how good they are in their life, how righteous they have lived, all of them need Jesus Christ. All of them need the righteousness of Jesus. In Isaiah 64:6 says, our righteousness is like the filthy rags. Our righteousness is no value. We may have a created righteousness. You know, the righteousness is a covering for our misdeeds. The human righteousness is covering for our misdeeds. Same what Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve did. When they ate the fruit, they saw themselves naked. Suddenly the glory departed and they were looking for covering. So they looked for around fig leaves. So they covered themselves with the fig leaves so they are not seen. The glory which was covering them is no more covered by that God's glory, but by the plant leaves. The leaves, the only the created things, they are trying to be covered now. The same thing, when we create righteousness of our own, we are trying to cover our unrighteousness, our sins, our nakedness. Same thing what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. But here is the Jesus coming. In chapter 13 of Romans 13 verse 14, put on Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So what is actually putting on Jesus Christ is his righteousness, his truthfulness, his holiness. I have no holiness. I only acquire holiness. I have no righteousness. I receive righteousness of Jesus Christ. I have no covering. I do cover things with my acts and deeds. I become a good man by doing good things, helping poor, taking care of widows, giving tithe. All those acts that I do are not sufficient. All good works that I do are not sufficient for cover my nakedness, my peril or my suffering of sin. It's only Jesus, the covering of the righteousness of Christ, can really cover us truly. So here man require is nothing but the righteous covering. And Jesus is the one slain Lamb of God who has given his covering to us. In the first and the Adam and Eve were covered with the leather clothing. Do you remember that? The God killed an animal. God sacrificed an animal to give coverings, little permanent coverings. Not the leaves were sufficient, but God created one kind of covering, of animal covering. Give them the leather shirts and pants. And then here next, the greatest covering is coming through the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, his own blood and righteousness of his blood. That we are covered in the blood of Jesus. And then we receive the true righteousness. No more we are seen, but Jesus alone is seen in us and through us. And this is where we find redemption and total deliverance. And God is willing to give this deliverance and salvation through his Son, only his Son. There is no other way. There is no Redeemer. There is no other Savior except Jesus. It's not a religious matter. It's a truth and very spiritual. You can be what you can be. You don't have to be religiously Pentecostal. You don't have to become a Roman Catholic. You don't have to become Methodist. You don't have to become Presbyterian. You don't have to become religiously anything in the world. Receive Jesus. You have to become only Jesus, like Jesus. So like Jesus, you will become when you have a covering of Jesus. So this is what I am putting on all the time. This is what I am always looking for. This is what I never want to give up. The covering which Jesus has given me, His righteousness, His blood, that makes me righteous in the eyes of the Father. Amen. May God bless you. Let us have a word of prayer. Oh, loving Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word that was preached with the authority of the Holy Spirit. Your children have heard very consciously. Bless them that the word remain, and they will have this word being fruitful. It will bear fruits. Some 60 times, 40 times, 100 times. Let this word that I have sown today bear fruits. Emerge out. And the worldliness should not cover it, but the covering of the blood of Jesus. Give it grow. Make it grow. Make it grow, Lord. Let your people find peace in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.